Good afternoon. Welcome to the study session of January 22nd, 2008. We do have a regular council meeting tonight on Tuesday. We did not have a meeting yesterday in honor of the Martin Luther King holiday. The first item on our study session is to review items on the agenda for this evening. So let's go ahead and do that. Anything on page one? Probably not. Page two. Have some resolutions and corresponding ordinances. Same thing on page three. Page four, liquor license. Mike.
Actually, on page three, it was the zoning at, I think it's the minor amendment, and then the respective zoning case.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some difference of opinion in that neighborhood. Has anybody organized from the neighborhood that anyone knows of that has made comments on this?
The last, and maybe Mr. Tessendorf can help me out, but we've talked several times with Mr. Thompson and others about comments from residents, and so far everything we've received is either neutral or supportive. Is that fair?
Yeah, correct, yes. I haven't heard any negative on it.
I know Jack Hanna had spoke against this in the past. I'm just wondering if he's on board with it.
I can't speak for him in particular. Some of the others I've talked to, but I have not talked to Jack.
Could somebody give him a call just to make sure he's fully aware?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Jack?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Bill.
Bill Petrie with Petrie Planning and Development Services. Jack Hannon was at the neighborhood meeting we had, and he was in support as long as Mr. Vandeveer and the other Irene and the rest of the neighbors were in support, and they are in support.
Super. Thank you very much.
I think there was some discussion quite a while ago about having this as a low-income housing,
right.
Public housing project.
Right.
I guess my only concern is it's a pretty loud operation, and it's right in the middle of a residential neighborhood, so that's my concern.
I think there's been some discussion about the fencing. Isn't that where the
correct
applicants tried to address some of those concerns?
Okay, thank
right.
you.
Okay, that's page three. Page four, we have liquor license applications. Yes.
Mayor and City Council, the Sam Bella's, 5C Sam Bella's restaurant mm-hmm. license, we're asking that application request be continued until the February 19th council meeting. The applicant has put in an extension with the state.
Okay, and staff concurs and no reason not to?
No reason not to.
Okay, let's, if there's no objection, just read it in as a continuance to February 19th then. All right, contracts. Continued on page five. And additional ones on page six. Page seven, introduction of ordinances. Councilmember Whalen.
Mayor, I've got a conflict on 7A. Cindy Brady, one of the principals, is a customer of my business.
Okay. All right, we'll remove that from consent.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right. Resolutions, item number eight, that continues on page eight, additional resolutions.
Yeah.
Councilmember Whalen.
This is not a pattern, but I have a conflict on 8G, H, and I, and J, which are a new leaf.
Okay.
I know it's just introduction, but we might as well be consistent.
All right, I'll call on you to declare that upstairs then.
And then while, right. While we're there, Mayor, question on 8M. I think some of us received an email on the what kind of use the baseball fields have at Autry and what the Rattler situation would do. Can I have perhaps a little explanation on that?
Yeah.
I think we're ready to do that. Brett?
I think if I could get some help with this, Elmo, the easiest way to explain this is probably just to get an aerial of that facility and talk a little bit about the area that's in question. And While he's setting this up, Mayor and council members, particularly council member Whalen, the area in which we are discussing contracting with the Arizona Rattlers is what we call basically the former, is it coming up there? It was.
It's on the TV screen.
Okay, so you guys can see it there?
Just not on these.
The mayor's got it, huh?
Well, it's being broadcast. I can see what's being broadcast.
Anyway, it's the practice facility Anaheim Angels had put in there originally, which is the clubhouse as well as what is the practice half field. They also put in the batting cages, and that area is not being affected. So the lease, there we go. So the lease area in which we're talking about with the Arizona Rattlers would be the clubhouse, this half practice field. This red outline would be the area in which they would turn into what we call open space or green space, and they would basically make that turf. Last year, we rented this half field only 2 times the entire year, and the clubhouse about that many times as well. So since the Angels exited in 2006, we've been paying approximately about $10,000 in utilities and the upkeep of that field and the locker room. This would afford us the opportunity to have a tenant in there that would be paying us roughly about $56,000 a year for these facilities.
Mayor, if I may, what happens, Rhett, to the other fields? Are they still then in use by through Parks and Recreation?
Absolutely.
How about restroom facilities? Are they currently now in the spot that's going to be leased?
No, all of the restroom facilities and the central operation of the three fields are located here. There is a concession stand and some different things that are on the corner of the clubhouse, but we've written that in to where we would still be able to operate those and provide concessions and restroom services for tournaments and the like that would be going on at the fields.
And then there's sufficient parking to handle both?
Yes, in March when we have a lot of tournaments, we've been meeting with them. In fact, we've been trying to work through the logistics of that, but according to their schedules, they play on Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays, and so when we're doing the bulk of our tournaments, they're going to be either on the road or playing a game. So I think we've worked out those logistics.
Okay. Thank you.
So are they going to create a field there that they're going to have games?
No games. It's simply a practice facility. So there's no games to be played there.
Darn. I'm going to see my first arena game. I'll have to wait, I guess. Vice Mayor.
Yeah, we'd have to have an arena, right? Good explanation, Rhett. I think that's really excellent, and it's a good use. The concern that the person had who had written to us was, I think they had the perception that those ball fields were being taken away. So I'm glad you gave this explanation so everybody could see it. Thank you.
All right, that's page 9. Anything else? Page 10, taking action on ordinances. Continued on page 11.
You can say 12.
All right, 12.
Mayor, item 9K, item Z07120, you have before you a copy of an email that we received this afternoon from the applicant on this case requesting a 30-day continuance. So they would like this continued to your February 19th meeting.
Have any opposition, other people been notified on this one?
Any concerns?
Not the issue? Okay, let's read that one into the record then as it continues to February 19th. If there's no objection, all right. Okay, that's page 12, page 13. Okay, that's it. That's, next item on the study session then would be to hear a presentation and discuss the marketing and sale of Pinal County farm properties.
Mayor, Council, we're here to talk about the Pinal County plan. We've got some boards behind you there. I think you also got a handout. Did you get a brochure? Okay, good. And we have that on PowerPoint also. By way of introduction, to start out, I'm Doug Tessendorf with the Mesa's Real Estate Department, and to my left is our broker, Nathan and Associates. For a little bit of background, for those that haven't heard about our farms, in 1985, we purchased 11,606 acres to be used for supplement for Mesa residents for water. We paid $29 million for the land, and we have, using bonds, we've since paid those bonds off, so there's no debt on it right now. The land is used for farming right now. Our annual income off leases is about $721,000 a year, and until about a month ago, we were operated in the black on that. Our taxes went up pretty dramatically, and so we're a little bit in the red, but we'll be working on changing that, a couple of different ways to work on that. Our water demands have changed since we purchased the farm, and in 2006, we had quite a few discussions with financing the future and then with council about selling the farms, and the decision was made to sell the farms. In March 2007, we hired Nate Nathan to represent us on brokering the farms, and that's pretty well where we're at today. As far as sales, so far to date, we've got two in escrow. We have TransCanada. It's a 200-acre parcel for about $11 million. The first half of that should close escrow in March of 2008, so I think it's about 6 weeks from now. We also have Shutt Corporation. You approved that one not too long ago. That's 1,600 acres, and it's about a $48 million deal. The first close of escrow on that will be in December of 2008, so December of this year, and it'll be about $16 million for the first phase. There's not a lot happening on the residential properties in that area now with the economy the way it is, but surprising or not surprisingly, we do have quite a few contacts for industrial properties along the east side of the railroad tracks east of Highway 87. We're not in a fire sale mode by any means. What we do, though, is we follow through on each and every contact that we get, and we see if there's a legitimate deal there to do. And we are talking with several people right now on possible sales. In October of 2007, we, along with Nate's office, we hired CMX Engineering to do a marketing plan for us, in essence. And that's where these maps came from. These are concepts that will help us in the sale of the property of what, show developers what it might lead to, what the area might lead to. We've discussed these plans with Coolidge and Pinal County. I'm not sure it would be appropriate to say they approve, because it's really not hard zoning of any kind. It's just simply a marketing plan. So they like what they saw. We're going to get them copies of this after we discuss it with you, and so they'll have it also. With that, let me run through a couple of the boards we have here. I'm not sure. On the TV screen, this is just an overall map of the farms, just to show where they are. Basically, they lie on both sides of Highway 87 between Coolidge and Eloy, about 55 miles south of here. This map is it shows the city limits of the different. It shows Coolidge in yellow, and then it shows Pinal County and Eloy's town limits. This is one of the concept plans that we came up with. Again, it's a pretty picture to help with the sales of it. And this is a blow up of one of the areas, another blow up of another area. And we actually have, you know, a few more maps in the office that I didn't bring. But for the handout that we have, if anybody wants copies of this, they want to take a look at it, we'd be more than willing to provide them information. If they contact us, either Yvonne McCall with a phone number, with an email, or if all else fails, just go to citymesa.org and find real estate and contact us. And we'd be glad to share all of our information with anybody that's interested in it. With that, I'll turn it over to Nate.
Thank you, Doug. Mayor, City Council, thank you very much for letting me come here tonight. The work that Doug just went through is a process that went through interviewing several of the different major land planners in town, getting bids in order to get the best price and choose the best firm. What we are trying to do is create a place. What we are trying to explain to the public is that the city of Mesa is one of, if not the largest single landowner in what I'll refer to as the Southeast Valley, which is Maricopa and Pinal County. You're lying just north of Eloy, which is 50.3 miles from downtown Phoenix and about 50.7 miles from downtown Tucson. You're also part owner in the Williams Gateway Airport, which is going to become an absolute major employment center. And in my experience over 31 years in marketing land, when you look at over Chris's shoulder and look at that map, what you see in black is the Southeast Valley, Mesa, Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert, Queen Creek. That area, other than the Mesa Proving Grounds and Superstition Vistas, the state land department, according to the consultants, will be built out in 10 years. The Southeast Valley used to capture about 50% of the market, plus or minus, over the past several years. It started to decline because of lack of available ground. It's inevitable in the very near future, although we're in a declining market, within 2 years when they think we're coming out of this, that it will come down and take over Coolidge, Eloy, Pinal County. So our job was to come up with a place. It's a preliminary plan. It's something that in the world of real estate, when you have large holdings like this, if you look at a red blob of 12,000 plus or minus acres, it's land. Our goal is to come up with this place. What CMX did in detail is come up with environmental restrictions, came up with different transportation corridors that you all know are being discussed relative to the State Land Reform Act, if it passes in November, allowing freeways to be dedicated down to our area. We needed to create two commercial cores because your property is about 8.5, 9 miles long, not including the State Land Department. And I won't go in depth into these plans. Again, they're preliminary, but what's going to happen when you realize how fast development is going to come your way, even though today it's slow, the major companies, the Ross Perot's, the Transcontinental, the Bass Brothers, the DMBs, which you're all familiar with, the Sunbelts, are going to look for places like this. And we're trying to get the jump and be fluid and be able to react to a market when someone says, hey, we want to do a master plan community. And now it's not just a red blob. We started to come up with something that you all have blessed. Eloy, Pinal County, and Coolidge has said, you know what? That starts to work. And when these new transportation corridors start coming to fruition, you'll see when we have more time to dissect these plans, they're coming right to these cores, and we're going to help control your guys' destiny. So that's, in a nutshell, what we've spent the past almost year doing. And the other thing that's important to note is the Shook deal that Doug has talked about is going to eventually, in the near future, if and when it closes, employ up to 5,000 people. Well, we're trying to create that employment center at the south end and start to take this and make it a place where nobody has to drive for an hour, nobody has to go anywhere but home, and that's what we're trying to do.
Any questions? All right. Appreciate the update.
Okay, thanks.
Good marketing plan. Thank you. Next item is appointments to boards and committee. Or Vice Mayor.
Can I go back and ask a question, Doug? If you put all of that acreage together, you know, all of our 11,000 acres, give me an area that we can all relate to. What's it equivalent to?
Well, let me put it this way. It's about 18.1 square miles.
It's half the size of Tempe.
Okay, so half the size of Tempe. That's what I'm looking
for. Very, very large.
Okay. I just think that it helps if you can put it in some form that we all know. So half the size of Tempe we're talking about developing. Okay, thank you.
Scott.
By conducting this plan and starting to plan for that, how much do we hope to leverage as far as greater dollars in the future? I mean, we sell this now, no plan. I would assume we wouldn't do it quite as well as if we planned this out, sold it in chunks over what period of time you guess would take.
That's a phasing question. I can tell you in some of the master plans, I won't use the name because it's proprietary, but we've taken a 4,000 acre master plan and from 1993 till last year generated about $1.7 billion in gross sales.
Okay, but it took from 1993 15 years roughly to get that to happen.
And correct.
When you compare this, we're looking at long-term sales, careful planning. Graduate is one of the things that I see in this map behind me is future freeway corridor access.
Now, at the same time, we just closed escrow in October of last year on 9,800 acres in Mobile that had no plan. They created a plan like this. And that 9,800 acres sold for about $278 million because it had a plan.
So that's key to what I wanted to statement, really, is that planning for this is important, but also that this, while a lot of folks look at this as a key to a future financial model, some stability, it's going to take a long time for that to come to fruition, and it really needs to happen, because the sale for that one property you had mentioned for almost $2 billion, that took a long time to happen. And you had greater gains when you sold it over time and properly planned for it. On a much smaller note, may I recommend that we get this on an electronic copy and just put it on our website so people can just download it?
We'll do it.
PDF format or...
We'll do it.
Thank you. Mike?
Just a real quick question, Doug. I know I've seen this before. Can you tell me where these two properties are, the Chef property and then the other one you mentioned? I know they're along the railroad tracks in the southeast, but just...
I'm asking Chef here. Why don't you show it so you can display it?
Actually, I can probably do it on this. Okay. The Shuck deal, if you can see this, I don't know if you can see that. Okay, the Shuck deal is basically these three close to square miles. They're not quite square miles, but these three sections, the furthest south. Can you, I don't know if you can see that or not.
Yeah, it's Shud Road is right in the middle of it.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And that's those. And then the other property?
The other property is in this area right here. It's not the whole thing. It's 200 acres out of this section right here.
I can't see where right here is. That. I'm sorry.
Try with your pencil. Your mark of lens. Oh, there you go.
Quite a ways north then.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost the extreme end.
Right. Okay, opposite. So it's the other purple property to the north.
Yeah, there's this chart here behind us that... Is it fair to say the purples?
The north purple property on the
north purple and the south purple.
It's 200 acres out of the middle of that piece.
Gotcha. And then where's the oil refinery at? Is that down south?
It's the notch on the corner of the purple property
right
to
up
the
above
north.
It. There you go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Vice Mayor. Okay.
You know, you just thought you were going to get away. You lulled us. Yeah. We thought you were going to keep on going. Doug, early on in this, you said that we had been operating in the black, and you were talking in terms of the revenue that we collected from our renters versus our taxes that we were paying. But the fact of the matter is, up until December, we were making payments on this property and had been for, 20 years?
That's correct. We were operating the operating expenses and income and expenses. We were in the black. Not the only thing that's not included in that is the payments we were making on the bond. That was not included.
And we made our final payment on the bonds last month.
December, yes.
And so now this property has been owned by the Municipal Development Corporation, and they will now have a meeting, and they will transfer this property to the city council?
Tomorrow
to the
morning.
City of Mesa, so to speak.
Right, tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't mean to us, but to the citizens of Mesa. All right. Okay, those were my questions. Thank you.
Picking my piece.
Right. Anyone else? Questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
For a second time.
But.
Yeah. Appointments to boards and committees. I have two recommendations.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Motion and second for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Your reports on meetings and or conferences attended. The updates. Scott? I think you had a gateway meeting.
We had a gateway meeting. Went well. It was kind of dull, I suppose, overall. But we have launched without fanfare the Arizona Direct. So we'll start bringing in some cargo to that airport. But we stress that this is really a passenger-based airport. Our numbers are looking good. The number of passengers coming in is continuing to increase. If memory serves, I think their capacity was at 82%. So the airline seemed to be doing very well down there. And we were also all at the parade on yesterday, day before.
Yesterday.
I'm starting to lose track now. It was yesterday for the MLK parade. And I'm very upset that at Mike Whalen for not allowing me to actually drive the antique fire truck. I am qualified, I swear to God. But he didn't let me. But it was fun riding anyway.
I have to respond to that.
I think so.
You know, it's just a tradition that a council member doesn't ride in the front seat. You know, we're in the back of the bus, so I just told him he was out of line.
I wasn't trying to ride. I was trying to drive it.
I have a question on the airport. Do we have any idea how many flights we're going to have for the Super Bowl?
You're going to love this answer. Between 50 and 250. They're not entirely sure yet, and the reason being is the game's just finished. They now know who the who's going to be coming. They don't know where they're going to park 250 airplanes, but they will figure it out. But as many as 250 aircraft could be flying in here.
Good. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I was hoping you were going to bring your cheese head today in honor of your team that didn't quite make it.
It was a defeat.
Yeah, it wasn't good. All right. On Friday night, I was at the Arizona Golf Resort welcoming the first group of Cessna employees who were in Mesa looking at the facilities and looking for homes and letting them know how much they were going to love being in Mesa. And then on Saturday, Councilmember Truitt and I were at the Fit City event kickoff. This is a year-long attempt to get people in our city more involved with physical fitness. Rhett Evans told us that we have been measured as the fourth fattest city in America. Now, I object to their criteria because my understanding is it has something to do with the ratio of donut shops to gyms, which doesn't quite get there for me, but I don't object to the fact that we're trying to get people more involved in being physically fit. So we kicked that off and we walked around a few times, and Councilmember Truitt and I have now done our exercise for the year. I think we're good.
Yeah. For the year.
At least for a month.
Claudia, do you think it'll be necessary for us to put distance limitations between donut shops?
I'm weighing that possibility, Tom.
Second. Was that a motion?
All right. Mike?
Just to thank the Martin Luther King Committee for yesterday's and the weekend's festivities. I think it was handled very well, and thank all of you for your participation.
Okay. Kyle?
We also have a group of students who came up from our sister city in Guaymas who are participating for a few weeks at EVIT in some classes, doing some student exchange. So we welcome them to Mesa and hope they enjoy their stay here. They'll be going back in another week and a half.
All right. Okay. Scheduling of meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Reminder to the council that we have a joint council meeting with Queen Creek tomorrow evening, January 23rd. Reception begins at 5:30 p.m. And the dinner will begin at 6 p.m. It's at the ASU Polytechnic campus, and it's in the Cooley Ballroom. I believe that's the same location as we met last time. And then reminder, we do have a study session on Thursday, the 24th, and that will be followed by a public safety committee meeting. On Thursday, January 31st, we have our regular study session and a community and neighborhood services committee. But we've also scheduled another special presentation for the council out at the airport, out of the Gateway Airport, beginning at 1 p.m., where we'll provide a review of information that we've had, a follow-up from the HDR study about flight patterns around the airport. And so we'll do that briefly, and then after that, Mr. Summers is going to take us on a tour of the surrounding area. So that's scheduled for the 31st. At beginning at 1 p.m., he's not driving. 1 p.m.
Oh, wait a minute.
Let's make that clear right now. 1 p.m. Beginning, and we'll try to wrap that up, and I think we're trying to get that wrapped up by 3 o'clock that afternoon. And then we have our council meeting on February 4th. Let me just jump ahead. We know we have, because of the another holiday, I think it's President's Day holiday in February, February 18th, which is a Monday, which would be our second meeting in February, we'll be moving that meeting to Tuesday, February 19th. While that's important, is that's also the same night as the Mesa Man and Woman of the Year banquet. So one of the things that the council and the staff's trying to identify these items early on, there are some items that will be introduced
zoning cases that will be introduced that you will see on the 31st, introduced for the 4th, but we may want to go ahead and looking forward to the meeting in February, we may want to look at continuing some of those if our intent is to try to keep the meeting reasonably short on the 19th. So as you get your packets for the 31st, that may be something to consider. And I think we've identified a few of those already for the council. And we'll try to keep the meeting on the 19th reasonably short so we can go to the other function that night too. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Tom?
Along the same lines, if there's anything that might be a small or close vote, just be aware that I will be out of town on the 19th and on the first meeting in March, which I think is the 3rd.
Chris, I'll be in Tucson on a corporation commission on the 19th and the 20th, so I'll be calling in on the 19th.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We have a motion to adjourn the study session in a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.